Okay. Masantos sa kabuasan at si kay namin. Good morning. It's always a blessing to stand in front of you, to minister to you, and just have the joy of fellowshipping with you. And like what I've said time and time again, whenever outreaches come up to Baguio, it's like going back to our mothership. So where we could be encouraged, we could be comforted, and we could be learn from one another. And so it's a blessing po talaga na nakabalik dito po sa ating pong church po sa Baguio. Personally, I would like to thank you for those who pray for my family. We've been down for about 10 days of flu. And the Lord is faithful and gracious. Sa prayer night, we've heard that you're praying for us. We have so many workers also. We have 3 workers from San Carlos who did not make it today because of illness also. So we remember them in prayer. Okay, let's pray for the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing, Lord God, of communion. The blessing, Lord God, of community. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a country that is free. Free in a sense, Lord God, that we could gather, Lord God, like one family. Not to have any persecution, Lord God, against our lives. Not even, Lord God, against our assembly. It's just enjoying one another and enjoying you as our loving Father. Truly, Lord God, what boundless love, what fathomless grace that you have shown us, the God of compassion. And so today, Lord God, as we unfold the beauty of your compassion, Lord God, through your word, captivate our minds, Lord God. Saturate, Lord God, our minds so that it will affect, Lord God, our emotions. It will penetrate, Lord God, our hearts. And so that when we go out from this place, Lord God, we will be affected, Lord God, to our will so that we might obey you, Lord God, so that your glory will be seen in and through the life of this church. And so, Lord God, please minister to us. Help us not to see this as an exercise, O Lord, as a mental exercise. No, Lord God, this is a time where we behold our God, the God of the universe, the God who created all things, the maker of all things. And the one, Lord God, who dwells among his people, those who are humble and contrite. And so I thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of just opening up your word, exposing your truth so that your people, Lord God, will again go back to that track to be awed by you. Father, please help us, Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts. And with all this, Lord God, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the message that I would like to share to you is about Christ's compassion. The title of this message is Recapturing Our Awe. Recapturing Our Awe of God in Christ's Compassion. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly open them to Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. And I like to read this, and I like to request everyone to please stand up as an expression of respect to the Lord. Please stand up. Let's read together Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. When Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Thank you po. Maaari na po na kayong umupo. You see, brethren, the Gospel of Matthew presented Jesus as the King. Jesus is presented as the King of the Jews in the Gospel of Matthew. We all know that yesterday, John presented Jesus as the Son of God. He is the divine person. He is the second person of the Trinity. And John presented Christ as the Son of God. But in Matthew, Jesus was presented as the King. And this is seen, brethren, on how Matthew narrated Jesus' life beginning from his ancestry, his genealogy. And so I'd like to encourage you, brethren, to please open your Bibles because we will look at a lot of passages because we wanted to unfold the Bible before our face so that we will be awed by Christ. So wala po sana ho sa atin natatama rin sa pagbubukas po ng Biblia. And so right at the start of this gospel, Jesus or Matthew presented Christ as the King. And he started not with in the beginning, as in before the time began, but he presented with the genealogy of Christ. Because the primary audience of Matthew was the people, Jewish people, the Israelites. And so he wanted to build then that Jesus indeed is their King. And so he started with that genealogy or what we call ancestry. And then in chapter 2, he made the story about his birth. That all the prophecies in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, that book of Isaiah was fulfilled in Matthew so that to affirm that Jesus indeed is the King in chapter 2. Then, also Matthew gave the announcer of this coming King in the person of John the Baptist in chapter 2, followed by his affirmation by the Father himself. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. He is the King. Listen to him. And of course, in chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, we will see there the temptations of the King by the adversary, his adversary, none other than Satan himself. And in chapter 5 to 7, then this King pronounced his rule. Kumbaga nagbigay po siya ng prinsipyo, nais mo na maging hari itong Jesus na ito. Ito ang prinsipyo, paraan ng pumuhay sa kaharian na ito. And that we call it the Sermon on the Mount. We call it Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 until chapter 7. And then in chapter 8, brethren, there Jesus was ministering to the people. And so Matthew was building up his argument that this Jesus indeed in Matthew chapter 1 hanggang po sa chapter 8, that this Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, is indeed the King of the Jews. He is the Messiah. And then comes chapter 8. In chapter 8, Jesus was ministering to the areas of Galilee. Galilee po, ngayon po ay binubomba po ng Hezbollah. Dahil sa norte po sila. Sila po naman po ang tinatamaan po ngayon. Last night po, last na nag-check po ako, dami pong mga drones po, mga suicide drones ang binabato po doon. So Jesus was ministering in the areas of Galilee. Listen to this, brethren. He was literally serving all the people with his teachings and miracles. He just came, you know, in Matthew chapter 8, he just came from a violent storm. Sa pagod ng ating Panginoon, dahil nagmi-ministeryo po siya sa maraming mga tao, sa pagod po niya, sila po ay pumunta sa kabilang lugar po ng Galilee. Nakatulog po siya, and there was a violent storm, and his disciples faced with a potential shipwreck, and Jesus calmed the storm. He made them amazed at his divine power. Jesus said, "Be still. Be still." Afterwards, he came to free two men who were demon-possessed at a place called Gadarenes in chapter 8, demonstrating again his power over the spiritual realm. The point, brethren, is this. Your Jesus my Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Like what the demons uttered when Christ confronted them. Oh, Son of the Most High, anong pakialam mo sa amin? And brethren, what the disciples eventually realize is that this Jesus whom they are now following is himself the God incarnate. He is the God incarnate. They were with God in human form. And they marveled at him, mga kapatid. Right after, when Jesus calmed the storm, he said, "Who is this that even the waves obey him?" Who is this? Psalms chapter 9. And this is our passage this morning. And so after a brief ministry tour at the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his companions went back to their own hometown in Capernaum. And right there, brethren, in chapter 9 of Matthew chapter 9, he continues to do a great deal of ministries with whom? With people. That's your first blank. He went back to Capernaum. And it is no accident, brethren, that Jesus chose the city of Capernaum. Capernaum means the city of comfort. The city of comfort. Kapag sinabi mong Kalasyaw, wow, masarap, city of puto. Pag sinabi mong Dagupan, city of bangus. Pag sinabi mong San Carlos, city ng kawayan. Masarap din naman pong kawayan. Ilagay mo yung bigas sa loob. Kung sa Baguio, city of pines. Pag sa Alamino, city of the 100 islands. Pag Kaaguo, dancing sun. Okay. Sorry po. Pag sinabi mong, wala pa po yung mga 90s, hindi po nila alam, di ba? Pag sinabi mong Libon, ano ba meron sa Libon? And say, okay, go back. Please, go back. Huwag ko kayo madiril. And so when Jesus chose Capernaum, the word Capernaum, the name Capernaum, means city of comfort. And it is no accident that the Son of God, the King of Comfort, chose this city. So that whenever people pass by this city, they will sense, oh, there's the comfort of God. Oh, we will have a sense of this is a city where Jesus lived. This is where Jesus taught and preached the gospel and healed many diseases. Capernaum, wow, this is the city of awe and comfort. It is a city of consolation. It is the city where God resides. And it is no accident that Jesus chose this city to be his base, ministry base. And so Jesus came back to Capernaum. Bumalik po siya sa Capernaum. At sa dami-dami po ng kanyang ginawa, he was not complaining, brethren. He was not complaining. He was not irritated. Andyan na naman sila. He was not complaining of the tight schedule. Jesus was not counting the quota. Oh, 1,000 na yung napagaling ko. Tama na. Chapter 8, ang dami niyang ginawa. Pumunta siya doon sa kabila. Bumalik siya sa Capernaum, hindi po ugali ng Panginoon, hindi ugali ng Panginoon mo, hindi ugali ng Panginoon ko ang magbilang. He was not complaining of the schedule. He was not counting the quota and stop when it is filled up. Actually, he came back to serve and minister to the people. That is Matthew chapter 9. That is the Jesus you worship. That is the Jesus you serve. And so our passage, brethren, in Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 39, is then a statement, a summary statement of Jesus' ministry philosophy. It is a statement of how Jesus was careful and conscious to serve others. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 39 is a declaration. It is a summary of what Jesus did to minister to people. And so based on our passage, brethren, I would like to divide this passage into three points. First of all, our King ministers to the people. That is in verse 35. Second, our King is moved with compassion. That is in verse 36. And in verse 37, our King okay, motivated us to do the same, or marked his people to do the same. Or his ministry, his motive, and his method. That is those are the points that we are about to study in this passage. And so first of all, brethren, our King ministers to people, the ministry of Christ. Let us read now again, verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Brethren, let us marvel at our Lord. Let us be astonished at our King. Let us behold the King of glory. As we study this passage, brethren, my prayer is that you will captivate again your awe of our Lord. The glory of the Son of God, the one who made the heaven, came to brighten the earth with his light. Here, brethren, the Son of God, the King, made himself available to men. He came to serve and not to be served. Jesus was in direct contact with needy people. He was humble to meet the needs of his people. He was available to heal the people. Jesus literally gave his life for his people. And so in Matthew chapter 9, there are a lot of stories how Jesus gave his life for the people, to the people. And might be, mapaglaro ang aking isipan, there will be some conversations like this. Hey, Jonah! How's the stray sheep you're looking for? Imagine yung Panginoon nakikipag-usap sa ganon. Oh, Berto! Diba, you mentioned about your brother who was working in the treasury. Kumusta na siya? Jesus was talking to people. The God incarnate was ministering to the needy people. He was asking real questions, brethren. Maria, kumusta na yung anak mong pinag-pray natin? Can you imagine yung mga tanong na ganon? Tatanungin ka ng pinakamakapangyarihan sa lahat. Sensitibo po siya sa buhay mo, kapatid. Jesus could have asked those everyday events in the lives of many people. My point, brethren, is this. Our King engaged with people. He asked them real life questions because he was dealing with human beings we call people. And just to survey ho ang Matthew chapter 9, this is true with our passage. He was going through all the cities and villages. Go back in verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages. And that must have been exhausting with our Lord and his disciples. You see, look at me, brethren. The Sea of Galilee, in this area, it is believed to have 204 villages surrounding the Sea of Galilee. That hard-shaped lake. Actually, hindi po talaga siya dagat. Lawa po siya. Sea of Galilee was a heart-shaped lake. And surrounding the Sea of Galilee, there are 204 villages. And I was curious about how many kilometers Jesus, kasi nga, medyo, ano po ako eh, tumitingin talaga ako sa picture eh. And I searched the internet, brethren, and based on the locations of these villages, based on the distances of these villages, according to scholars, the estimated number of kilometers every day for Jesus to walk surrounding the Sea of Galilee is about 32 kilometers a day. 32 kilometers a day, naglalakad ang Panginoon to minister to people. 32. So from KM0 sa Cheongsan hanggang sa Felix Gate, 32 kilometers po yun. Kung kayo po taga Dagupan, from Dagupan, Bunuan, ikot ka doon sa Lingayen Gulf hanggang sa Lingayen Capitolio. That's about 32 kilometers. Aba po yun. Malayo po yun. So imagine po ninyo, ang Panginoon po natin, patuloy po siya naglalakad, magbiministeryo po siya sa iba't ibang mga tao. Jesus really encouraged, really ministered to people. And I wonder, brethren, God, those 3 years, God really prepared our Lord. with physical health to accomplish such immense task, di ba? Grabe talaga ang sovereignty ng Lord. Brethren, marvel at our King. 32 kilometers, he got no entourage to move him. Remember, Matthew presented Jesus as the King. He's King. And yet he ministered to people. In marvel, brethren, he got no entourage to move him. He got no army to carry him. He had none of the earthly comforts a king has known. Actually, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet, he ministered to people. He ministered to people. And notwithstanding, with so many dangers of troubles during the time. There was one story when Jesus gave us, okay, the Good Samaritan. Di ho ba? Alam po natin na along the road, marami pong mga tulisan. And so, brethren, marvel indeed at the heart of our Lord to minister to people. So Jesus, traveling all the cities and villages, he traveled to all the cities and villages in the city of Galilee to minister to people. And going back to our passage, what did Jesus do when he traveled to these villages? Did he lead a field trip with his disciples? Wow! Missions, alaminos, sama ko dyan! Pasyal! Masarap ang mangga! Of course, hindi ko alam kung may mangga po sa Galilee, but I'm just giving you an illustration. What did Jesus do? There were three activities, actually, the Lord did to the people. First, he was teaching in their synagogues, and then he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing every disease and every sickness. And all these ministry platforms were seen in the previous stories. For example, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8, he healed the paralytic lying in the bed, and he has forgiven a sinner. It happened in Capernaum. Right after that, he called Matthew and dined with the sinners. He engaged a discussion with John's disciple on the issue of fasting, Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 to 17. He brought back to life Jairus' daughter and healed a bleeding woman. And so ito pong sinasabi po dito ni Mateo, talagang totoo po ito. Nangyari po talaga ito sa buhay ng ating Panginoon. In Matthew chapter 9, 27 to 31, he healed two blind men. In his earthly ministry, brethren, Jesus fulfilled the work of an evangelist. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the good news. He teach in their synagogue. And the word teach there, in verse 35, comes that the word that word was referred to as exposit or expose. So Jesus also fulfilled the task of a biblical preacher. Natural po. Listen to this, brethren. Natural po nung panahon po na yan, when there was a visiting rabbi, that visiting rabbi has the responsibility to read the Word of God and to explain it. And it is happening during that time in the area we call synagogue. And Jesus fulfilled that ministry. He was teaching in the synagogue. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed many diseases. That mission, he fulfilled the mission of being God's King. Only him could heal diseases. Literally, brethren, Jesus was all over Galilee. Kumbaga sa basketball, buong ko, sa korte, defense, offense, nandoon ang Panginoong Jesus. Ang Panginoon ay totoo talaga, nagministeryo sa tao. And brethren, he made actually physical illness absent in Galilee. John attested to this truth. Sabi po sa John 20 verse 30. Okay? In John 20 verse 30. Listen to this, brethren. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Imagine po ninyo, no? Sa dami-dami ng ginawa ng Panginoon, pero sabi pa ni Juan, kung ilalagay lahat ng ginawa ng ating Panginoon, kukulangin ang lahat ng libro sa mundo. And so literally, na-wipe out po ang sakit po sa Galilee o sa Israel nung panahon ng ating Panginoong Jesus. In John 21:25, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written? I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Napipicture ho ba ninyo nangyayari po dito sa passage po natin? Jesus was going through all the cities and villages. He was teaching in the synagogue. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing every disease, every illness. Jesus was ministering to the people. His ministry to the people was theological, missional, and practical. And again, mga kapatid, ang aking pong nais po ay makita po natin ang ating mangha sa ating hari. Let us marvel, brethren, our King is our master servant. He is the ringleader in dedicated service. He attended to the people's needs. He came and brought hope to the hopeless, peace to the weary, healing to the brokenhearted, life to the lifeless. What a powerful song that we have sung a while ago, di ho ba? The God of Compassion. The God of Compassion. Wait, brethren, there's more. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he literally wiped out illnesses. He taught in the synagogue. He preached the gospel as if these are already enough for us to marvel at our King's heart to serve. Listen to what Matthew tells us in Matthew 20, verse 28. Verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life, brethren, for you. And so the greatest service our King gave was when he made himself a curse for those guilty of sin and death. Our sin has been ultimately paid by the price of his own dear life. As if kulang pa po yun ang Panginoon nang nandito siya, ipinakita niya ang kanya pong malasakit sa mga maraming tao. Ito ang pinakamatindi. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. Hindi tumigil ang Panginoon sa pagpapakita na siya ay mabuti at mabait na Diyos o mabait na hari. Ipinakita niya mismo sa krus ng Kalbaryo. I like what Spurgeon said in this passage, in his sermon. Nasa notes po ninyo. And as we read this quote po, ay sana po mamangha po kayo lalo sa ating Panginoong Jesus. Spurgeon said, he felt all the griefs of mankind in himself. He took our sickness and carried our sorrows. He proved himself a true brother with quick human sensibilities. A tear brought a tear into his eye. A cry made him pause to ask what help he could render. So generous was his soul that he gave all he had for the help of those who had not. The fox had its hole and the bird its nest, but he had no dwelling place. Stripped even of his garments, he hung upon the cross to die. Never one so indigent in death as he, without a friend, without even a tomb except such a loan could find him. He gave up all the comforts of life. He gave his life itself. He gave his very self to prove that he was moved with compassion. Most of all, brethren, do we see how he was moved with compassion in his terrible death? Oft and oft again have I told this story, yet the lips shall be dumb ere they cease to reiterate this old, old story. I like to read that again. Oft and oft again have I told this story, yet the lips shall be dumb ear daisies to reiterate the old, old tidings. Basically, mga kapatid, sinasabi po dito ni Spurgeon, kapag ikaw ay nakukumprunta ng ginawa ng Panginoon dito sa lupa at ang krus ng Kalbaryo, namamangha ka pa ba? Nabibilib ka pa rin pa ba, kaibigan? O sawang-sawa ka na sa Ebanghelyo? O napakamalabnaw na ang Ebanghelyo sa buhay mo? Wala nang taste po ang gawa ng ating Panginoong Hesus. That will bring us to the second point, and that is, our King is moved with compassion. So we have seen the ministry of Christ during His earthly ministry. He taught the Word of God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He wiped out illness and diseases. Literally, for 3 years, tinanggal niya ang mga karamdaman. And ultimately, He has shown us the greatest service of this King by dying on the cross for us sinners. And the motive of all this is not so much because you are lovable, because one day you will become a pastor. The motive of His ministry is none other than compassion. Our King is moved with compassion. Verse 36, it says, seeing the crowds, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Seeing the crowds, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. So imagine po ninyo, no, ang Panginoon, nung siya po ay nagtuturo, nagpapagaling, He was in an elevated part and He saw the big crowd who were following Him, and He said, they were distressed and harassed, sheep without a shepherd. Observe, brethren, that word seeing. That word seeing, other translations rendered it as He saw in King James Version and ESV, kapag gumagamit po kayo ng translations na yan. And Matthew used that term prodigiously. Dami ho niyang nilagay po na mga salita ito. Talagang in-spread out po niya yung salitang seeing. Kasi nga, gusto ho ni Matthew na makita ng mga Hudyo na itong si Jesus, hari natin siya. So, marami po siyang binabanggit na salitang seeing. And that word seeing is basically, it means looking intently with careful evaluation or assessment. And so when Jesus saw the crowd, when He evaluated these people, when He looked the people, Jesus said He was moved with compassion because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes that word seeing can be translated also with that word behold. Behold. And so Matthew was drawing all of us to behold how compassionate our Savior King is. Pag nagbasa po tayo ng Biblia at nagbabasa po tayo ng buhay ng ating Panginoon, namamangha po pa rin ho ba tayo? Nakikita pa rin ho ba natin na ito ang Panginoon na pinagsisilbihan ko? Matthew was telling us that Jesus was not uninvolved in the plight of these people. He came alongside with them through His teaching, preaching, and even in His healing. Alam niyo, mga kapatid, no, napakaganda po yung pagkasabi po ni Matthew dyan. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was moved. He was struck. He was hit. He was deeply affected. The God of the universe is affected with the plight of His people, and He was moved. Please be patient with me. That phrase, move with compassion, that word move, no, kasi meron pong dalawang salita po ito na pinagsama. The word move there is basically come from that picture na kapag kayo po ay pupunta sa dagat, mag-sail po kayo, kayo po ay dadalin po ayon po sa gustuhan ng hangin. At ginamit po yan ni Pedro in 2 Peter chapter 1. When the Bible was penned, the authors was moved by the Holy Spirit. The same word. Jesus was moved. Not because ang bait-bait ng mga taong ito. Not because Ang ganda-ganda ng ministry nito. Not because napaka-successful yung church na ito. He was moved. He was deeply hit because of compassion. Dahil may malasakit ang ating Panginoon. He was moved with compassion. That word also, move, speaks about emotions. Jesus was struck with affection, the seat of emotions. Ang picture po dyan ay ang Panginoon ay naapektuhang sobra sa mga taong ito. Kayo po, kapag in love po kayo, di ho ba? Sino sa inyo dito in love po? In love sa Panginoon? Wala hong nagtaas ng kamay, Pastor. Kapag kayo po ay 6699 Ford Ranger, please. 6699 Ford Ranger. Paki-atras po yung inyo pong sasakyan. So kung kayo po ay in love po at pag nakikita po ninyo yung nililigawan nyo, pinag-pray po ninyo, kumukulo po yung tiyan po, di ho ba? Kapag kayo po ay magtuturo dito sa harapan, parang gusto mo po balik-balik ng CR, napabawas ka na, hindi mo alam! At first, nung nagturo po ako dito po sa inyo, talagang ihingihi ako palagi. Kinakabahan, galaw ng galaw. Imagine ninyo, yan po ang ating Panginoon. He was deeply affected with these people. Hindi po arm's length ang Panginoon sa mga tao. Nararamdaman po niya ang karanasan ng mga taong ito. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our what? He's our great high priest. He sympathizes with us. Matthew chapter 4, he was tempted. He knew how to experience hungry. Hindi po siya mayaman. Anak po siya ng karpintero. At one point in time, sa buhay ng ating Panginoon, nung kinutsa siya ng mga eskriba, sabi ng mga eskriba, yung anak ni Maria. At ang pagkasabi nun, hindi dahil sa anak ni Maria siya. Yes, totoo, anak siya ni Maria. But that's a disdain. That's a mockery because sasabi nila, anak siya sa labas. Alam ng Panginoon paano kutsain. Alam ng Panginoon ang pinararanasan ng mga tao ito. And so ang Diyos ho, the God incarnate, He was moved with compassion. And marvel, brethren, kung hindi po sa malasakit ng Diyos sa iyo, kaibigan, nandyan ka sa labas. At maaring iba ang ginagawa mo. Kung walang biyaya ng Panginoon, saan ka kaya, kaibigan? Maaaring nandun po ako sa Manila, mansusungap yung rugby. Kung tumatama ako ng rugby. If you're not because of the compassion, the grace of God. Because Jesus knew our frame, Psalm 103. Jesus knew our frame. Our Lord is moved with compassion. Now that word compassion, brethren, means to suffer with. Jesus suffered with us. In Isaiah chapter 53, He's called the suffering servant. It means to sympathize together. To sympathize together. And brethren, the Bible is replete with so many messages, so many truths, that your God is our compassionate God. Yahweh is our compassionate God. He's slow to anger, merciful and gracious. His actions were moved with compassion. He desires His people to be compassionate people. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. And so, sampal sa Panginoon kapag ka indifferent ka sa pinagdadaanan ng iyong kapatid sa Panginoon. Kapag ka manhid ka, kapag nakakita ka ng isang taong namumuhay na wala kay Kristo at wala kang pakialam, kapatid, hindi po nagpapakita ng respeto sa Panginoon mo. Because compassion, brethren, is a godly expression of Christ-like character. It is an expression of being a believer. It is indeed a Christ-like character. Compassion is the way we live the life of Christ. Can we meditate upon that statement, brethren? Compassion is the way we live the life of Christ. People will see through us the radiant beauty of our compassionate God and Savior. When people will see Jason, will they sense how his God is the merciful God? Compassion, brethren, draws people to Christ. Compassion is such important evidence of godly life. Kung wala ho ang malasakit sa puso mo, kung wala kang pag-ibig sa iba, kung wala kang pakialam sa iglesia mo, pupunta ka lang sa service, tapos alis ka na, ikaw ang pinakauna, ay pinakahuli at pinakauna. Huli dahil late ka. Una, dahil ikaw na unang umalis. Then kapatid, kaibigan, meron ka ba talagang Kristo sa puso mo? Magkadiretsyohan na tayo because compassion is such important evidence of godly life. Sabi natin kanina, Jesus ministered to people. He has shown His compassion to people. Literally, He was all over Galilee, 32 kilometers to reach out to people. And then ito ka ngayon, sasabi mo, Christian po ako, pero hindi mo man lang kilala kung sino yung katabi mo kapag ka Sunday service. Hindi ka man lang mamumusta, kumusta na po kayo sa mga kapatiran. May pinagdadaanan yung kasama mo sa ministry, hindi ka man lang mamumusta o mag-pray. This church is a very compassionate church, I believe. And I stand with that truth. Kasi po ako po, mismo, I am recipient of the compassion of God through you. Pag nagkakasakit po kami, meron pong nagtitext po sa amin, kumusta ka na, Pastor? Mag-preach ka na. Kailangan ka na namin dito. Napaka-compassionate. Aminin ko po sa inyo, no, nagkasakit pa ako, ang inaalala ko, naku, paano na naman yung workers retreat? But the Lord ministered to me by many of you. Pastor, we're praying for your family. We're praying for your church. My leaders, I appreciate the Lord for my leaders. Sabi po ng isang kapatid na leader po sa amin, Pastor, tigil ka na ha. Bugbog, sarado ka na. Pangyakap muna, ako magtuturo. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for your compassion. Our elders, namumusta po sila. Oh, Jason, huwag ka na mag-attend sa meeting. Pero hindi, gusto ko pa rin mag-attend kasi miss na miss ko po yung mga tatay ko eh. I believe our church is a very compassionate church. And yet, hindi po tayo titigil as if we arrive at that point. Oh, compassionate na kami. Wow! Sabi po ni Paul, excel still more. Excel still more. Brethren, listen to this, okay? Listen to this. Very important. It is compassion that broke Joseph's heart for his brothers in Genesis 43, verse 30. At this point, talagang hindi na niya makayanan. Talagang awang-awa na siya sa mga kapatid niya. Umiyak na po siya. Awa ko si Jose. Brethren, it was this kindness, it was this compassion. Because David experienced the compassion of God, it was this kindness that King David, who had compassion over Jonathan, that brought the crippled Mephibosheth to the king's royal palace to be supported in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Kung hindi po naranasan po ni David ang malasakit ng Diyos sa kanya, wala siyang pakialam kay Jonathan, wala siyang pakialam sa pamilya ni Saul, pulbusin ko lahat yan. But because he experienced the compassion of God, he supported Mephibosheth. It is also, listen to this, it is also this compassion that Moses appealed to God in behalf of his people, Israel. Tikas-tikas na ulo ng mga ito, mga bayang Hudyo. Pupulbusin ko na sila lahat. Ano sabi ni Moses? Lord, please, wag po. Maawa po kayo, Panginoon. Ako na lang po ang patayin po ninyo. Makapasok lang po sila. It was this compassion. And a lesson on the Lord's compassion made Yahweh brought His runaway prophet to come to Nineveh. Sabi ng Panginoon, punta ka sa Nineveh. Sabi niya kay Jonah, northeast. Ang sina ang ginawa ni Jonah, pumunta siya southwest, sa Tarshish. Bakit? Bakit? Anong rason ho ni Jonah? In Jonah chapter 4 verse 2, sabi niya nung nakapunta na siya sa Nineveh, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country?" Sabi sa Pilipino, "Sabi ko na nga ba eh?" Why? Because sabi niya, "That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." Panginoon, ayoko pumunta sa Nineveh. Masasamang tao yung mga yan eh. Kaya nga ako pupunta sa Tarshish eh. Southwest ang pupuntahan ko. Dahil alam ko, Panginoon, napakabuti po ninyo, O Diyos. Maawain po kayo, Panginoon. And brethren, the virtue of compassion filled the Bible. And this is not a surprise because, again, the central person of the Bible, the main figure of the Bible, Jesus Christ, to whom all the prophets and the law have spoken to, is himself our compassionate, merciful Redeemer. And here in our passage in Matthew chapter 9 said, he is moved with compassion. Eh, huwag na ho tayong magtaka kung mahalaga po sa atin ang malasakit, compassion, awa, habag, simpatsa. Dahil ang misuho nating Panginoon ay walang iba, siya po ay mahabagin na ating pong manunubos. And so, brethren, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw the people, they were distressed and downcast, dispirited, sabi po ng New American Standard Bible. If you're using NIV or ESV, harassed and helpless. If you are using New King James Version, weary and scattered. Weary and scattered. Or pagka CSB, distressed and dejected. But basically, the word distressed means troubled. Troubled. Itong mga tao na ito, sa panahon ng ating Panginoong Jesus, matindi ang problema po nila. Matindi ang pinagdadaanan po nila. The Bible, Matthew, described them as troubled people. They were downcast, dispersed, tossed away. Literally means mutilated. Wala silang pag-asa. Walang pag-asa. And so Jesus saw these people were abandoned and abused by their own supposedly pastors, shepherds, and leaders. Bakit? Ano sinabi ni Kristo? Listen to this and look at me. Look at me, brethren. Because Jesus said, they are like a sheep without a shepherd. Okay? A sheep without a shepherd. You see, brethren, it should have been, listen to this, it should have been the Jewish leaders who take care of this people's spiritual nourishment. But these Jewish leaders were the ones who ripped the people apart from God and from His law. And so mga kapatid, hindi po aksidente, hindi dahil nagkukulang ang Panginoon ng kanyang salita. Intentional din po yung pagsabi niyang, they are like a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was showing compassion. At the same time, He was rebuking a group of people you call Jewish leaders. Because these Jewish leaders, supposed to be counsel, teach, minister to their own people. But the opposite. These Jewish leaders were the ones who sucked every person to spiritual dryness and hopelessness. Itong mga pastor na ito dapat, itong mga Jewish leaders dapat, sila po ang safeguard, nag-aalaga sa mga tupa, sa mga Hudyo, nagtuturo sa mga tao, and yet sila pa ang humihit-hit ho sa mga marami mga tao palayo sa Panginoon. And you can sense po kung gaano kalayo ang mga leaders na ito pagdating sa kanilang pagministeryo. For example, look at your Bibles. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 3, Matthew chapter 9 verse 3, heto ka, naghahanap ka ng kapatawaran ng kasalanan, of course, kagalingan po ng katawan, here comes Jesus said, "I forgive your sin." Imagine niyo po, no? Naghahanap itong mga tao ito, marami mga tao, pinagdadaanan po nila, wala pong direksyon, naghahanap po sila kung sino po ang Diyos, magtuturo sa kanila kung sino si Yahweh. Dumating ngayon si Jesus, sabi po ng Panginoon, pinagaling niya po itong tao ito, and then sabi niya, "I forgive your sin," And this group of people, scribes, sabi nila, blasphemy! Blasphemy. Sino tong Jesus na ito na magpapatawad ng kasalanan? Matthew chapter 9 verse 11, kasama niya yung mga makasalanan. The Pharisees saw Jesus with his unholy alliance. At this point, naapektuhan pa even the disciples of John. And the Pharisees, together, they said, they accused Jesus of non-practicing fasting in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Sabi nga ng Panginoon, kapag mayroong bang celebration nandoon yung pinaka-guest, maglulungkot ba kayo? Hindi, magsasaya kayo. In Matthew 9, 14. In Matthew 9, verse 34, sabi nila doon, when Jesus released the person with two demons, sabi po nila, kasama niya ang demonyo na nagpalayas din ng kapwa niya demonyo. Tinawag pa ang Panginoong demonyo. And so, brethren, these were the Pharisees, these were the scribes, these were the shepherds of Israel at that time. And so, listen. So when Jesus uttered this statement, a sheep without a shepherd, he was actually indicting the Jewish leaders over their abandonment of the people and their evil leadership. Okay? These people were harassed. Supposed to be, these Jewish leaders were teaching the people, and yet, wala, pinapalayo pa nga nila sa Panginoon. And here comes Jesus was teaching the people, he was preaching the gospel, he was healing the many people with sickness. Nangungontra pa po sila. Ayaw ho nila na makita ang ating pong Panginoon at ang kanya pong pag-asa po ng kaligtasan. And I like this statement, I like this truth na makita po sa inyo. If you will act like the Jewish leaders, that you're supposed to be taking care of your brethren, coming alongside with other people, supposed to be, dapat tayo po sa iglesia ay nagtutulungan, may mga kapatiran po natin may pinagdadaanan, at kapag wala kang pakialam, kapatid, wala kang pangumusta sa mga tao, sa paligid mo, sa kasama mo sa ministry o sa church, then you are acting like the Pharisees. Did you get that? Kuha ba ninyo? So indifference is not just walang pakialam. Ito ay pagpapakita ng isang klaseng ugali na hindi galing kay Kristo, galing sa kalaban ni Kristo. Did you get it, mga kapatid? Nakuha ba ninyo? So you're acting like the Pharisees. If you are not showing compassion, if you are not showing concern to the brethren, if you are not sharing the gospel, if you are not have that heart of ministry to other people, then you are acting like the Pharisees. Jesus warned us about the indifference, about the unbelief of these people by saying, these people are like a sheep without a shepherd. And imagine nyo, mga kapatid, ha? Kapag nandun ka siguro at naririnig mo, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, burdened. Come to me, my yoke is easy. I am a good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Imagine nyo po, no? Kasi nga, ang naririnig ng mga tao, sa mga Pariseo, huwag mong gawin yan. Huwag kang magbuhat ng ganyan. Huwag kang maki-associate sa mga tax collector. Huwag kang maglakad kapag kasabat. Huwag mong gawin yan. Lahat. Napaka-legalistic ho ang nangyari. To the point na yung mga tao, wala na silang pakialam bakit burdensome na ang batas. Pero actually po, yung batas na yon hindi batas ng Biblia, kundi batas na ginawa nila. At nandito ngayon si Jesus, anak ng karpintero, narinig nila na, my burden is light. Kung ikaw yun, ng mga panahon na ito, matutuwa ka siguro sa Panginoon. Lord, thank you for the hope. Thank you, Lord God, for the good news. Thank you, Lord God, for my King. Thank you, Lord God, for that encouragement. I like to apply this, brethren, so that hindi lang ho tipong, wow, ito, maganda. Why do we need to capture again the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we need to capture again the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because, brethren, this is the same heart we must show to others. Jesus was moved with compassion. We must also be moved with compassion. We must have the eyes of Christ. We must have the heart of Christ. When we look at people according to how Jesus looks at them, we will truly care for them from the heart. We will not look at them as fillers to our evaluation reports. Amen? They will not be seen as numbers or statistics, but needy soul to be fed with the word of God, as godly shepherds will do for the sheep. As part of our ministry, as part of the church, you look at people not as numbers. Pampadami po para marami makaupo sa upuan. No! Pag ganun po, mga kapatid, ang ugali mo lang ay para lang matapos po yung activity. Para magawa lang yung mga plano o programa. Pero kapag ka may malasakit ka sa puso, hindi, kahit isa lang yung dumating, talagang buong puso mo na talagang pagsisilbihan yan. Because you have the compassion of heart, of Christ. But then we will not just run the program. We will carefully lead the people to Christ in humility, boldness, and persistence. Why? Because you have the compassion of Christ. Brethren, without, listen to this, without the compassion of Christ at work in our lives, we tend to be clinical in our counseling. Tapos lang itong counseling ko na ito, gawin mo lang yung action points mo, ayos na. When you see people according to how Jesus looks at people, you will not be calculating. But in trusting in the sovereign care of God, yes, you will count the cost. But the cost is not based on human economy, but in the Lord's prevailing grace of mercy over even one sinful redeemed soul. Your principle in ministry would be in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You will not ever count the soul of person according to the worldly standards. Hindi mo susukatin, hindi mo bibigyang halaga ang kaluluwa ng isang tao. Mamahalin mo yan, paglilingkuran mo yan, dahil may malasakit ka kung kaano rin ang malasakit ni Jesus sa atin. In our ministry to others, because you have the eyes of compassion, you will persevere to lead and shepherd even one single soul because of Jesus said in Luke 15 verse 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Di ho ba? You will not look at your ministry na pakumpetensyahan, padamihan. Kung mayroong isa na binigay ng Panginoon para i-disciple mo, then you will invest your life to that person because you knew na may malasakit ka sa taong yan dahil ikaw din naman pinagmalasakitan ng Panginoon. Nakukuha ho ba ninyo, mga kapatid? Alam niyo po, kapag ka nakuha po ninyo ito, kapag katutuo sa puso po natin, our church indeed would be a loving church. Our church would be a compassionate church. Praise God, we are a church of truth. We banner yung ating statement. We live according to the truth of God. But that truth must be seen, live out in our daily life through our compassion. And if one single person the Lord will give you, then ibuhos mo na, kapatid, ang puso mo sa taong yan. I-disciple mo yan. Mahalin mo yan. Isama mo ang buhay mo sa kapatid na yan. Dahil mahalaga po siya sa Panginoon. Dahil papakita po ng Panginoon ang kanyang malasakit sa taong yan. Listen to this, brethren. Why do we need to capture again the compassion of Christ? Why? Because this is the compassion of God. Because this is the compassion of God. The moment we unfolded the Word of God, we have seen the ministry of Christ. Ito ang pinakita ng Panginoon. Pinakita ng pag-ibig ng Panginoon sa mga tao, ibinigay niya ang kanyang buhay para sa iyo. Why do we need to be again captivated by the compassion of Christ? Because Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. If you have seen the compassion of Christ, you have seen the compassion of God. Amen? San pa ba? Kanino pa ba ho natin huhugutin ang klaseng pagmamalasakit sa tao, kundi kay Kristo? Bakit? Dahil si Kristo, ipinakita niya ang malasakit ng Diyos. Because He is the God incarnate. And so, brethren, the goal of Christ's service is the glory of God. Thus, the goal of your service is the glory of God. All of those works Jesus did point to the power and glory of God. Only God could remove sin. Only God has the power to grant mercy. Only God could bring lasting hope and peace. Only God is the giver of life. Only God could suspend the natural laws with His supernatural works of grace. Such God is what Jesus showed to the world. And brethren, that is also the kind of compassion we must show to the world. Ang malasakit sa iba. Ang pag-ibig po natin sa bawat isa. No, our theme in San Carlos is loving one another. And I appreciate what Pastor Robbie told us in John chapter 13. And in one of our devotions, family devotions po namin, sabi ng mga bata, I asked them, what is ultimately the distinguishing mark of a true church? You know, what's that mark? Loving one another. John 13. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples because we show compassion towards one another. We show love towards one another. And so mga kapatid, napaka-practical po ito. Hindi po ito tsore, hindi po ito abstract. Kapag ka isang linggo o dalawang linggo o isang buwan, hindi ka na nag-aaten at bigla kang ipa-follow up ng kapwa mo ministry member, kapwa mo kasama mo sa ministry, they're actually living out this truth. They're showing their love to you. They are being compassionate to you. Kasi maaring kapag matagal ka na, lumalayo ka sa Panginoon, you will act based on your own opinion, based on your own assessment, based on your own evaluation ng iyong spirituality. Kailangan mo ng tulong na iba para makita mo kung ano nangyari sa buhay spiritual mo. Kaya papasok dyan yung accountability, papasok dyan yung pagpa-follow up. Kapag hindi gagawin ng ministry head yan, ng pastor yan, then we are acting like the Pharisees. Walang pakialam. So they were distressed and harassed as sheep without a shepherd. Di po ba? Pero pag ginawa po namin bilang mga pastor, hindi dahil sa wala nang nagbibigay ng tithe o bungi-bungi na sa Sunday service namin. No. We are living out, we are following, we are actually showing forth the compassion of Christ. Amen. Thank you po sa isa. And so, kung ganyan ho ang ating pong ugali, kung ganyan po ang klase pong relasyon po natin sa isa't isa, italagang sabay-sabay po tayong lalago bilang iglesia. Amen? Our standard is the compassion of Christ. Hindi ka pinapabayaan ng Panginoon sa buhay mo. Dumaan ka man sa kasalanan, if you are a true believer, then the Lord will still sanctify you because God causes all things to work together for your good. No one will, the Lord will not, we will not be separate from the love of God. Committed ang Panginoon sa buhay mo. And so kung ganun ang standard ng Panginoon sa buhay natin bilang Kristiyano, at yun ay ipapamuhay po natin sa isang iglesia, ay mga kapatid, ibang-iba ang testigo po natin bilang pamilya ng Diyos. And as workers, you have the responsibility of showing compassion to others. Amen? And so kung wala kang pakialam sa kapwa mo ministeryo, then hindi mo pinapakita si Kristo sa buhay mo. And this is so practical, brethren. That's why we need to go back. We need to capture the compassion of Christ. That's why we have dig into what Jesus did while He was on earth and what Jesus did on the cross. So that basis, we can show love towards one another. Malapit na po ako. Wag ko kayo maglala. That will bring us to the third point, the last point. And that is our King marks His people to do the same. the method of Christ. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And so Jesus was traveling. Listen to this. Jesus was traveling to all the cities and villages in Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, exposing the Bible, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and illness. He was moved with compassion. Seeing the crowd, he was moved with compassion because they were harassed and distressed, because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The labor indeed is few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers or the workers are few." He now transitioned to challenge the disciples to respond. Ganda ho nung preaching kahapon, because kung mapapansin po ninyo, paulit-ulit po yung mga word, di ho ba? Para mag-stick talaga sa puso mo. Respond! Respond! God has given us immense privilege to show Christ to others through our life of compassion. How will you then respond? How will you respond? And the challenge is, respond. Because Jesus said to his disciples, the church, brethren, has the responsibility to show and live. The church has the responsibility to show and live out Christ's compassion. And as a matter of application po, itong third point na ito, I will give you three sub-points as a matter of application. First of all, how do we respond? What is the method of Christ when it comes to living out Christ's compassion? First of all is insight, and then intercession, and then involvement. Kung gusto ho nyo ng letter P, okay, perspective, prayer, and participation. Insight. Anong sinabi ng Panginoon? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Okay, there are a lot of interpretation on that phrase. Nagkakaiba-iba po. Some would say that, okay, because we have seen that many people were harassed and distressed. They were not being taught with the Word of God. Marami sa kanila lost, in a sense. And so marami dapat po talagang kailangan pong ipadala, mga misyonaryo, para magbahagi ng Ebanghelyo. Okay? The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Valid interpretation. But put yourself in the perspective of a Jewish person. Whenever they hear the word harvest, it does not automatically mean souls. It means judgment. Judgment. And so these people, because they were not taught by supposedly Jewish leaders, they were not being preached with the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? So itong mga taong ito, harassed, sila po ay displaced, wala po silang pag-asa sa Panginoon. And mind you, brethren, the harvest will come when the Lord will judge everyone. The laborers are few. Yes, totoo. Ang Panginoon Jesus, dumating po siya, and afterwards, He chose 12. And then afterwards, the church, our church, is indeed ginagamit ng Panginoon to preach the Word of God, the gospel to the nations. But ultimately, the point of Jesus Christ is this. If this harassed and disrespect people will not continue or will not hear the gospel, there will be a time that God will judge all the sinners. It will become swift, severe, and sure. The judgment of God will be swift. So Jesus was talking about kung magtutuloy-tuloy itong mga taong ito na hindi nila makikita ang tunay na tagapagligtas, ang malasakit ng Diyos, balang araw sila po ay parurusahan ng Panginoon. And so, what Jesus wanted us to know is this. Kung wala kang malasakit sa iba, mabiber mo ba, makukuha mo ba sa konsensya mo na itong taong ito na wala kay Kristo ay didiretso sa impyerno? Jesus wanted us to catch the burden. That's the point. Jesus wanted us to have a perspective that God is using each one of us, the church, to show compassion to the world, so that the world will see compassion of Christ. There will be a harvest time. There will be a judgment day. And God, before that time comes, God is using you to show the compassion of Christ. And so you have to have that burden. You have to have that perspective. O nga, Panginoon, kung itong kapatid ko na ito na wala kay Kristo, kung itong kapatiran ko na ito na nagtutuloy sa kasalanan, Panginoon, ididil mo siya. Although, hindi po siya pupunta sa impyerno, pero ididil mo siya. Panginoon, ito ngayon nakikita ko, may malasakit ako sa kanya, turuan po niyo ako, Panginoon, na abutin siya. Jesus wanted us to have a perspective of urgency. A perspective of, kapatid, darating ang panahon, ang Panginoong Diyos, hahatol siya at gagamitin ka niya. I like what William Hendrickson, in his commentary po, sa passage po na ito, no, or sa commentary po niya sa Romans about this particular statement. Basahin po natin. Sabi niya, the person, okay, the person who is unconcerned about those who are perishing may well wonder whether he is a Christian. Di ba? Matindi ho ang ating pong mga pangailangan pagdating sa pag-abot sa mga kaluluwa. Kailangan po nating makuha po yung burden. Magkaroon po tayo ng malasakit sa mga taong ito, gaya po ng pagmalasakit ni Kristo. Because mga kapatid, if you are unconcerned about those who are perishing, may well wonder if whether you are a truly a believer. Second is this, intercession or prayer. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest. If these people are harassed, they were not being taught with the Word of God. Hindi nila marinig ang salita ng Panginoon. Kailangan po nila ang kaligtasan. Kanino pa po tayo haharap? Kanino po tayo hingi ng tulong? Sabi po ni Jesus, plead with the Lord of the harvest. Pray to God. Who else, brethren, could save these people from condemnation? Answer, the Lord of the harvest. The one who will judge the earth, pray to Him. Pray to Him. Nahirapan ka, kapatid, na ipakita ang pagmamalasakit sa iba, pray to God for His sustaining grace. Amen? Napakahirap i-counsel itong kapatid na ito. Pray to God. We're talking about missions and evangelism. Who else could save the person but God? Mga kapatid, hindi po sa kasigasigan po ng ating iglesia maliligtas ang tao. Hindi po sa galing ng mga pastor o ng mga leader po natin. Hindi po sa dami ng programa ang nakadepende ang kaligtasan. Nakapadepende po yan sa ating Panginoon. And so when we see people outside, they were harassed, they were not being taught with the Word of God, they live a hopeless life, kanino po tayo tutuon? Kanino po tayo lalapit? Sabi po ni Jesus, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And lastly is this, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers to the harvest. Alam mo kapatid, kapag ka nakuha mo itong burden na ito, gaya po ng ating pong patuloy na sinasabi, kapag ka nakikita po ito sa loob ng ating iglesia, doon na nag-umpisa na isinama ka na ng Panginoon para sa ganun, ipakita ang kanya pong malasakit sa iba. The Lord will use you, brethren. You will be involved. You will participate in this great work of compassion. If you have a perspective about Christ's compassion, if you believe that the only answer, that the only hope for the hopeless is Christ, then you will indeed say, Lord, use me. Like Jeremiah, send me. Send me to my co-worker. Send me to my co-ministry member. Send me to my members. Send me to my neighbor. Use me, Lord God, to be part of this great work of compassion. Brethren, the person, listen to this, the person who is unconcerned about the plight of sinners to hell may well wonder whether he really tasted the compassion of Christ. Kapag tayo po ay wala po tayong pakialam sa iba, then kapatid, kailangan po natin humingi sa Diyos, Lord, panumbalikin po ninyo ang malasakit po ninyo sa akin. bring back, we pray, Lord God, that I will be indeed rekindled with your compassion. My prayer, brethren, is this, that our church will be a church of compassion, that we will be a loving church, not just to each one of us, but to the world. And we will ever show to the world how compassionate our God is through our own compassion towards one another and towards others. May we have the eyes of Christ. May we have the heart of Christ. And may we have the feet of Christ to show compassion to others. God is good. Amen. Our God is indeed faithful. Our God is merciful. I pray that this mercy also will be shown to others through us. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Salamat po, Panginoon. Ang salita po ninyo ay napakayaman, Panginoong Diyos. Maring ilang beses na po namin itong narinig, Panginoon. Subalit, ito po ay mahalaga upang mas lalo pong mapaalab ang aming pong pag-ibig sa inyo at ang aming pong pag-ibig sa isa't isa. Lord, your compassion, Lord God, must push us to humble ourselves before you. Na hindi po kami, Panginoon, magreklamo sa mga bagay-bagay na nangyari sa buhay po namin. Kung may mga kapatiran kaming nakagawa ng masama sa amin, Lord God, hindi po kami pag-iimutok, Panginoon, sa pagtatampo. At mas lalo pa dapat maipakita ang pag-ibig po ninyo, Panginoon, sa aming buhay para sa iba. Thank you, Lord God, that your compassion, Lord God, is very practical, Lord God. Because if it is not because of your mercy, if it is not because of your compassion, Lord God, paano kami makakaroon ng kaligtasan? And so thank you, Lord God, for bringing us back, Lord God, to the compassion of Christ so that we will be indeed enabled to share the gospel, Lord God, to unbelievers. To move, Lord God, our church, Lord God, to show the love of Christ to others. Salamat po. May we indeed have the eyes of Christ. May we have the heart of Christ. And may we have, Lord God, the feet of Christ for your honor and for your glory. Salamat po, Panginoon, sa pangalan po na iyong Panginoon Jesus. Amen. Amen.